Welcome. So Sefer Vayikra is a book of mitzvos. So it's always interesting when in the middle of a book of mitzvos, we all of a sudden get a story. And stories are generally more fun than mitzvos anyway. So I thought we would spend some time on the story that we find in this week's parsha. It's the story of the Megadeth. So what I want to go through the story and sort of try to understand, number one, is, you know, what the issue was. This person commits blasphemy, and why is it recorded here potentially? And so let's just read we have a whole bunch of mitzvos, and then in Perek, you can see in the screen share, right? You can see it, right? Do I have to change this a little bit? Can everyone see it? Right, you can see the screen share? Yeah? Thumbs up?
You can blow it up.
Okay, is it big enough for people?
Yes.
Okay.
It's good.
Okay.
You could blow it up, though. You can zoom in and blow it up with your fingers on the screen. Well, on the phone, anyway.
No, not on the phone. Okay. Okay, so Vayetze ben Isha Yisraeli, Svehu ben Ish Mitzri, Vesof ben Yisrael. So there was the son of a Jewish woman or Israelite woman, and he was the son of an Egyptian man. Okay, so we have the union of a woman and a man. Besoch b'nei Yisrael, in the midst of b'nei Yisrael, vayinatzev machaneh, they get into a fight in the middle of the camp. That's the simple understanding. The letter beis generally means in. Can also mean other things. We'll see there's another explanation, but we'll read the simple reading. It's they fought in the camp. Ben ha-Yisraelis for Isha Yisraeli. So this son of the Yisraelis and a man who was, I guess, a full Yisraeli. Vayik, so that seems to be there's some issue there, presumably. Vayikov ben ha-Isha ha-Yisraelis es ha-Shem vayikalel. And the son of the Yisraelis, I guess the half-Israelite, you know, whose father was an Egyptian, whose mother was a Hebrew, cursed, right? Vayikalel, he cursed. Vayaviu oso al Moshe. They brought him to Moshe. V'shem imo Shlomis bas Divri l'mate Dan. The name of his mother was Shlomis bas Divri for the tribe of Dan. Vayanichuhu b'mishmar lifro shalhem al pi Hashem. And they placed him in jail in custody so they can know what to do with him. So they weren't sure what to do with him. Question, of course, is why do you think they might not have known what to do with him? Any thoughts? Why do you think they didn't know what to do? Was this a new halacha? Is that why they don't know what to do with him? Because it's a new halacha they haven't learned yet?
Well, he wasn't a full Jew. He was, you know, half Israeli, half Egyptian.
Right. So that,
they don't know what the din is with him, although they may have known what the din was for a...
Right. So that, right, on the surface... Yeah, Evan?
Just words. You know,
Wait, one sec. Evan, then we'll do Baruch. Evan, what do you want to say? Evan?
I think God is one of the seven mitzvahs for Ben Noah, so then a guy would be also...
Right, right. So you're responding to Herbie's claim, okay? Baruch?
I thought they didn't do an action, he just used words, you know?
Right, right. So in other words, was this simply a question of halacha? They weren't sure what the halacha was? Or maybe, Evan, you're right, he's, you know, the cursing God is one of the Shemins Bnei Noach, but this is actually an in-between case, right? You have a non-Jew, we know the rule for a full Jew, maybe they're not sure about the rule of someone who's like in the middle, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I think there are at least two possibilities.
There's something else playing here.
Yeah.
Moshe killed this guy's father in Mitzrayim.
Right.
So there's another between them.
Right, well, that's certainly one explanation. That's certainly we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss about three or four things.
Okay. Why is he non-Jew if his mother was Jewish?
I'm not saying he's not Jewish. All I'm saying is it's interesting that he's referred to as someone who's a Ben Ish Mitzri and a Ben Isha Yisraelis. And this is the first time we've come across this person. And all I'm saying is, I'm just throwing out possibilities. I'm just throwing out possibilities that it could be that we just don't know. And what I'm saying is it could be they don't know the halacha in general. Or maybe is it that there's an issue where they don't know what the halacha is for this type of person. It's true, they know the halacha for the non-Jew. It's true, they know the halacha for the Jew. How do they treat this person? I don't know. Okay?
It's interesting.
Yeah,
it's interesting that what Evan said, that he killed him, but he, according to the Medrash, he used Hashem's name to kill him.
Right.
And here he's using Hashem's name too. It's interesting.
Yes, yes. Okay, we will get to that explanation. So let's, but we'll get, that's certainly one explanation. Okay, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Rabbi, did they know what the punishment was, but maybe they didn't know the procedure?
Right. Procedure, why? Because why? Because he's...
Because they haven't done it before, so...
Right. Exactly. Okay, right. Right. In other words, is there anything about... Is this simply they didn't know what the halacha was, they didn't know what the procedure was for killing him, or maybe there's something about this in-between state that maybe the procedure is different for an in-between state versus not an in-between state. I don't
Rabbi?
Know. Yes?
Rabbi?
Yeah?
You taught us in Sanhedrin that in order to get the death penalty, you got to tell a guy that he's going to get the death penalty for doing X, Y, and Z.
Right.
We don't have here.
Right. We don't. It doesn't seem to have Hasra here. It doesn't seem to be warning here. Maybe that's the difference between a non-Jew and a Jew. Maybe there are half Jew. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. So let's...
What's also interesting is that the word Yisrael for a Jew is only mentioned here, nowhere else in the Torah.
Right, it's interesting.
Yisrael
right.
for a Jew.
Right, right. It's usually in Ivri, now it's a Yisrael. Yeah. I guess, in right. We don't have the word Eretz Yisrael anyway until it's called Bnei Yisrael, so it's Yisraeli, I guess. But this is like a half... The only time referred to someone as a full Jew is Ish Yisraeli, as opposed to this individual who was a half Yisraeli and a half Mitzri. Okay, let's try to read on a little bit. So then again, it seems to be that the problem is that he cursed God's name, because if you continue in the Pesukim, Vayedibar Hashem Moshe Le'emor in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hotzeis Hamakalel Amichutz Ba'Acharei is referred to as the one who cursed. V'Samchu Kol Hashomim V'Shidehem Arosho V'Ragmug Also Kol Aydan. You should stone him. Though Bnei Yisrael to the very more ish ish ki yikalel elokav v'nasa cheto, and you tell Bnei Yisrael, anyone who curses God, he bears his guilt. V'nokev shem Hashem mos yumas, if he pronounces Hashem's name, he's put to death. Ragom yugamu bo kol ha'ida, they should be stoned. Kager ko ezrach v'nakvo shem yubas. So that's an interesting term, no? It's kager kazrach, like the stranger, like the citizen, so he's put to death. Okay? That's an interesting term. I don't know why he would say that. Or I'm not sure this, you know.
Was he a ger?
Right, so I don't know. So in other words, is this extra language of kager kazrach, maybe that's referring to this individual. We'll get back to that in a bit.
Or anyone.
Right, it could be anyone. The question: Do we always find that language kager kazrach? Do we always find that language respect to everything, or is it maybe here because maybe we're once you know what's his how do we view his lineage? So let's
maybe that's to resolve that problem of whether he's a Jew or half Jew or
is another Jew or whatever. Right, right. In other words, is what's going on here like an issue of Hashem clarifying the halacha, or is he clarifying that it applies to the ger, to the ezrach, to the... Okay, let's read a little more. Okay, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Now all of a sudden we have these other halachos. Now you would think, after Hashem says put him to death, you would think we would skip to Chav Gimel. What's Chav Gimel? Vayedibar Moshe al Bnei Yisrael v'yotzeihu esam hakalel mechutz l'machane v'yigmu oso oven. Moshe told Bnei Yisrael, they took out the one who cursed to the outside of the camp and they stoned him. They did what God told Moshe. That would be Chav Gimel. It would be great to place Pasuk Chav Gimel right after Pasuk Tezayin. And yet, Hashem's not done. After Hashem says what happens with the one who curses, then all of a sudden he's got more stuff to say. And he says, if someone kills another human being, he's put to death. and someone who kills an animal, okay, he should make restitution, life for life. We can see that's really, it's financial. Someone names his fellow, what happens, what he does should happen to him. Shever tacha shever, ayin tacha ayin, shein tacha shein, kasher yitein mum ba'adam ke yinasin bo. Literally, it seems to mean that an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, we know that they only pay the financial compensation. Why it's word like this is not the topic for our discussion now. I think I once discussed it, but that's not the topic of discussion now. Umake behema yishalmena, and if someone hits an animal, someone who kills a beast, then he should pay. If he kills a person, he dies. One law should be for you, again, because I am Hashem, your God. So it seems on the surface like we have these additional psukim, which I don't know. If I don't know if on the surface I would have put these psukim in the middle of this whole discussion. Now there's the person, we have a story. And the story is someone commits blasphemy, and then they don't know what to do. Then they ask Hashem, and Hashem says, this is what you're supposed to do, and then they did it. Now we have all these psukim, of Yud Zayin to Chav Beis, which seem to be, not so connected to the story, and yet it is recorded in the middle of the story. So before we try to answer some of these questions, let's discuss different theories as to what this person did. What was the issue? What happened? What was the story? So everyone can see, right? So now let's read Rashi. Rashi has a few explanations. I'll try to make it a little bigger. Okay. Can someone give me a thumbs up? Is this big enough? Yeah, big enough?
A little bigger.
A little bigger? Okay, hold on. Zoom. No, wrong. Hold on. Wow. No, I know it's worse. I know.
You can make it bigger on your own.
Okay, I got it. Okay.
You can make
it. Is this good?
That's good.
It's good. Okay.
Now, one or two.
Okay. So Rashi. So the pasuk says, Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. He went out. So what do you mean he went out? So Rashi has to be Heichad Yatza. Where did he go out? What's he bothered by? Why doesn't Torah say Vayinatsu ben Isha Yisraelis uven Ish Mitzri b'sof b'nei Yisrael? What does it mean he went out? What's the language of it? He went out. That's what Rashi is bothered by. Meheichad Yatza. Rabbi Levi says, Me'olamo Yatza, he went out from his world. Okay, what does it mean? He went out from his world. What do you think that means? What do you mean he went out from his world? Like he left his... Yeah? What do you think that means?
Well, he went from private to a public place, so he did this in front of everybody.
You think olamo means... that's interesting.
He left his personal space.
He left his comfort zone.
Wow. You're darshaning olamo. Oh, you're saying olamo... That's interesting. I thought it means something different. I thought it means, really, he left his humanity, like he left his world. He left his humanity, in a sense. I thought it's related to the Sefer HaChinuch. If you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, the next source, Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah Birchas Hashem, what's the root of the mitzvah? I think olamo is like a term of art. Usually means like you left this world, like you don't belong in this world anymore. I know you're focusing on like your own personal world. I think like he left his humanity in a sense. He gave up on this world. In a sense, he's forfeiting his life in a sense. So let's see, or he's leaving his humanity. If you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, he said, what's the prohibition of cursing? Mishar Sheh HaMitzvah Birchas Hashem Lefi Sheh Misrok Rokeid Adam b'mamar harach ahu mikol tova, because when someone curses, he empties out himself with this bad speech from any goodness. He's empty. Like this is very serious when you curse. V'chol ho nafsho ne'apach l'mashchis, the whole glory of his soul is turned to destruction or to a destroyer. Vehinehu nechshav kabehemos. When he curses God, he is considered like an animal. Kiva also davar.
He becomes like tame.
He's what?
He becomes like tame.
Tame, right. He becomes, it's tame. He becomes animalistic. You know, a man has an animal side and he's always fighting between, there's a part of man that is different from an animal. And when he speaks like this, he becomes mamish like an animal. Kiva also davar mamish shevdilo Hashem yisborach. Because with that thing that God distinguished man for the good, uvo nase adam, and by that he created man, with that which he created man to, differently than animals, vuhu adibor shenivdal bo mimine habehemos, it's speech that distinguishes man from animals. I once gave a shiur on that. As what does it mean, nase adam bit salmenu kid musenu? In what way is man different than animals? So there are different explanations. And one explanation is that it's speech that distinguishes man from animals. Rav Soloveitchik famously said it's the creative impulse. Meshech Chachma says it's free will. Different explanations. Sefer Achinuch says it's speech. So this is how you're different than animals. You've removed yourself from any sense of intelligence. You're worse than a sheretz, than a lowly insect. Therefore, the Torah warned us about this. And basically, you lose, you blasphemy is a debasement of human dignity. And because the essence of your olam, I think there actually is, right, that your speech is your world. This is your world. This is your human world. You leave, you speak like this, you debase your speech. This is the ultimate debasement of speech. Blaspheming God. So that is, that's yatsa me olamo. That is sort of one way of understanding this. Rabbi Berechia says, mi parsha shelamala yatsa. He went out from the previous section. What was the previous section? The previous section discusses about the bread, the lechem hapodim. What happens? You bake the bread on a Friday, and when is it eaten? When is it eaten? You bake the bread on Friday. When is it eaten?
Shabbat.
9 days later.
9 days later, right. Shabbat, but 9 days later. Lig leg va'amar, b'yom ha-shabbos yarchedu. By the way, some people, I think there's a little bit of background noise, so if you can, when you're not speaking, if you can just mute yourself when you're not speaking, okay? So, lig leg va'amar, b'yom ha-shabbos yarchedu. So he mocked it, and he said, derech ha-melech lecho paschava b'chol yom. He said, the way of the king is to eat bread, fresh bread every day. It's not, it's not appropriate to have 9-day-old bread, like that cold bread. So then he mocked that halacha. He started mocking halacha, and he ended up cursing God. Okay? So this sort of doesn't really relate. This doesn't really relate to the fighting. This simply relates. Maybe they were fighting about, according to this, maybe they got into a fight about this halacha. The first explanation could be the fight led to this cursing. Could be when they were fighting that he started, saying this is all stupid. He lost his cool. Now, umasnisa amra, in the braisa it says, so now this is based on a sifra. So he's saying like this, mi base dino shel Moshe yatsa mechuyav. He left the basin of Moshe liable. In other words, he lost the case. What was the case? Ba lita aholo besoch machne dan. He went to plant his tent inside the house of Dan. Why? Because his mother came from Dan. Okay, his mother came from Dan, but his father was an Egyptian, so he thought that I should be in the tribe of Dan. Amrulo, mati vachlakad. What are you doing here? Abraham, they Dan on me. I'm from Dan. Amrulo, they said to him, Ishal di globo sos le base avosam ksiv. We go by the father. That goes by paternity. Nichnaz le base tiro shavosha viyatsu bachuyav. So he left, and he was obviously disappointed. He wanted to join the Jewish nation in terms of land. So he felt disenfranchised, and then he cursed. So according to this, by the way, remember I said in the beginning of the shir that the Ba Machaneh, right? They were fighting about the camp, about which camp should he be in. Not in the camp, but about the camp, perhaps. So we have so far, that was an unfavorable verdict. Should he be treated like Shevet Dan or not? So is he like a Mitzri or like a Yisraeli? So we have three different explanations so far. Now there's another question. Was he Jewish or not? Did he convert or not? So what it says the following, it also says that Vayetze Besoch B'nei Yisrael. So he went outside, inside the camp of the B'nei Yisrael. Inside the camp among the B'nei Yisrael. Was he an outsider or was he an insider? That's also a debate. And Rashi is of the view, Ramban says, Umashem Ramatars Koni Besoch B'nei Yisrael, Malamet Shiyisgayer. So when it says that he was actually Besoch B'nei Yisrael, it means he converted. Edo sheyitzdarech begerus el kachol yisrael shenichtu lebris milo tefilah v'artzaz dabim bishas matan Torah. It doesn't mean that he didn't need to actually do any formal conversion, but he left with the rest of B'nai Israel, and at Har Sinai he was among those who did mila tefilah, and they offered a korban, and they said nasa v'nishma, and what it means besoch B'nai Israel means he followed his mother. And he didn't want to follow his father. He identified as a Jew, as a Yisraeli. That's what the Ramban says. So here is this Yisraeli. It's a little sad. He wants to identify as a Jew. And what happens? He maybe he's thrown for a loop. They say you don't have full quote unquote Jewish status. And in the heat of an argument, this son of the Egyptian man becomes angry. And he curses the Yisraeli in God's name. The only other time this occurred in Tanakh was when? Anyone know the only time when someone cursed in God's name? Anyone? I'm waiting for Evan. What do you got, Evan?
Maybe Ben-Gera, is it right?
Ah, did he curse? He cursed out David. Did he curse out God himself? Wow.
He just cursed out David.
By the way, I only know this because I looked into it. I wouldn't have known had you asked me. Golias, right? When Golias meets David, he curses God. Right? Okay. So, in any case, this is the only other time. So here you have a situation that you might have an Egyptian man who feels a little bit alienated. And or maybe he feels unjustly treated, but he's got to accept that. And in fact, that's your responsibility. It's interesting that the Rashbam, he quotes in Shmos Chav Beis Chav Zayin, it says Elokim lo sekaleo v'nasibam chalo saor. It says don't curse, and it says Dibar kasev bahovel lefisha malachim v'adayanim donim dini mamonos unefashus regilim b'nei lekalam. He says, you shouldn't curse, like he basically says, Elohim here means judges. You shouldn't curse judges, and you shouldn't curse, the Nasi. And his point here is what? That this is typical. What?
If you lose.
Right, if you lose. And that's typical. Like, that's our job. Our job is, if we have a case, we shouldn't curse the judge. It's very difficult. Right? And in fact, Rabbeinu Bachai says this is... Now, Rabbeinu Bachai gives the explanation that some of you were saying initially. Yesh li shol, ima yushneha merivim zeim zeh, lama zeh yivarech az Hashem azos. Right? If two people are fighting with each other, why is one going to curse God about this? So maybe he should complain against Moshe or hit him or kill him. Well, why is he cursing out God? What probably happened? What was the fight about? It's a fourth explanation. The Ish Yisraeli told him, oh yeah, I know how your dad was killed. You know how he was killed? Moshe killed him with God's name. So he used God, because his father was killed by Moshe cursing him out. So what happened? So he now curses out, you know, with the same name. Okay? So that's, you know, it's very tragic. It's actually a very tragic story. It's actually a very, very tragic story. Now, so you read many different explanations. Was this simply a fight and he lost his temper? Was this a fight about Nachla? Does he belong to Dan? Was this a fight and then he the first person told him, you know, look what your father did. Your father died because of this. Was it simply an issue of halacha? Does it connect to the previous section in the parsha? But at the end of the day, he curses. And when he curses, so then, again, you could argue, like some of you argued, we don't know what the procedure is. We don't know what the halacha is. But then, look what the Abravadel says. The Abravadel says, Vashomim hevi'u el Moshe ladea mayaselo. And those who heard brought him to Moshe to find out what should happen to him. Vidirali, it seems to be, says the Bravadel, she Yisrael, nistapku bedido im yehareg. They weren't sure about the halacha if he should be killed. Kevan shekilil Hashem hanichbad biyosam Yisrael. Should he be killed because he cursed out God's name when he's a Jew? V'chay b'mora v'chavod Hashem. And he is liable with the honor and the fear of God's name. Only he pater mizeh biyosa ben ish mitzri shelo haya chayav v'mitzvos liyoso mitzri. V'haya makom safek im yedinuhu ki Yisrael l'chayvo k'fi ha'em misa. So again, maybe they weren't sure. This halacha about, you know, Ben Noach in Gemara and Sanhedrin, where we know of Ben Noach, a non-Jew, so he's put to death for the Shev Mitzvot Ben Noach, the seven Noachide laws. Was that known at the time? I don't know. The Bravanel says it's not so clear. He's this half, again, you're not going to say how he wants to say. He's not a half Jew. He's a full Jew. His mother's Jewish. Okay, but maybe it wasn't so known, wasn't so clear. Things that are clear to us now may not have been clear back then. How is he treated? Like Yisraeli or like a Mitzri? And therefore they brought it to Moshe. And therefore Moshe's not sure about this. And therefore they, the Bravanel, say leave him to find out, is he Chayev Misa or not? And furthermore, Ibn Ezra says, and he says, V'yitachen shikiu elu anitzim zetzeh. And it seems that they hit each other. They wounded each other. Alkein nichtavazos ha-parsha. Therefore, we wrote this parsha about hitting each other. Uchvar skira rak hosif. But it was already mentioned, but already added. Keger ka'ezrach. The Ibn Ezra says this explicitly. The purpose of adding this, of this whole section, is to tell you that these halachos apply whether you're a ger, whether you're a zrach, whether you're a full Yisraeli, whether you're a half Yisraeli. The halachos apply the same. So we started off the shir. We wanted to know what was the sin, what did he do that was wrong? And we also wanted to know, how is it related to this whole section at the very end? So it could be what's going on here. It's actually a very tragic story. It's a tragic story where, you know, there's an individual who feels a little bit alienated. His mother is a Hebrew. His father is not a Hebrew, is an Egyptian. It's so hard to feel, you know, it's like nowadays, right? Converts, some converts don't feel connected with the Jewish people. Here was someone who gets not a full convert, but he was someone who didn't belong, didn't feel like he belonged. He didn't have a nachla. That was the strict letter of the law. And he was very upset. And you can feel his pain. And yet, he took the strong stance of Mekalel Hashem, the Megadef, the committing blasphemy, that is beyond the pale. Blasphemy is beyond the pale, and we see that the halachos are the same. The halachos apply, both to the ger and to the ezrach, the citizen and the stranger, maybe to the full and maybe to the half Yisraeli, and maybe this is what it means, you know, if you're even if you're a convert, even if you're half Yisraeli, when you join on to the Jewish people, there you may have difficult times, but this is kedoshim to you. This is what it means to this. This is a sefer. Sefer Yikra is the sefer of Torah's Kohanim. It's the book where we're supposed to act like Kohanim, right? The first half is kedusha. It's about being kadosh in the mikdash. The second half, starting from kedoshim, is being holy outside the mikdash, and we have a responsibility. And when we debase ourselves with that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that was different from the animals, then this is the unfortunate reality. Even when we feel justified in our feelings of alienation, so we have to remain, you know, faithful to the dictates of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and certainly not engage in this type of behavior. It's a tragic story. In this situation, but there's a high standard of kedoshim tiyu, and this is a story of a situation where we find what happens when someone does not follow the dictates of kedoshim tiyu and the tragic consequences.